RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all their various episodes.
This week, Josh, I've been on a hellish island, and remember, 5 years ago, I made you a promise that we were going to sit down and do this podcast tonight.
Well, I'm looking forward to doing it. But before, I brought you some authentic Australian rum. Won't you have a drink?
I was pretty sure that rum was poisoned.
I think he was, too.
Yeah.
And he waited. He waited until Slade took a drink.
Yeah.
But he didn't tell his mom to wait.
Yeah, no. Well, he's not liking his mom right now either.
No, I noticed that. Is that what was he thinking? Well, I'll just have her stomach pumped or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's already been. We know where the hospital is. We've been there plenty of times.
So. Oh yeah, they got their own wing. Remember?
Exactly. Right. Well, I was torn between doing that opening or doing the Mr. Wilson opening for all. That's really going to show my age, because I remember watching the old Dennis the Menace Dennis the Menace black and white show with Jay North. Now, I watched it as reruns in the 70s, but still, that was quite a long time ago. Anyway, what an exciting episode. I'm so upset that we have a bye week next week on Arrow. They came back. They've come back strong, and we've got some exciting episodes coming up, but we got to wait. So
I know. What's is there something going on next week? March Madness or something? Or why are they taking a break?
Well, because they were running. They at least locally here. Last week, they were running a college basketball game on the CW. Arrow didn't air until 10 p.m., which upset a lot of people. Maybe it was 10:30 even. So I don't know. CW might be showing some March Madness stuff. I'm not sure what's going on next week. I don't really pay attention.
Sometimes even if the station's not the one showing it.
Oh, like with the Olympics.
They'll take a break because obviously the ratings are going to go somewhere else. So I didn't know if maybe that was it. Or I know it's definitely that time of year for that, but... Yeah, I wasn't ready for another break already.
Yeah, so we do have to wait until the 19th for the next episode. Why don't you tell everybody what episode we did watch this week?
Well, as you said, we were witnessing The Promise, which was episode 14 of season 2, aired on March 5th, 2014. It was written by Jake Coburn and Ben Sokolowski. Directed by Glenn Wintergreen. I'm sorry, just Glenn Winter. Sorry,
yes.
Glenn Winter.
The green is assumed as part of the whole Arrow mythology,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. So, absolutely. So, I know he must enjoy his scotch or whatever that was that they were drinking. So, you know, who's ready for a little flashback?
Yeah.
This was definitely a flashback episode. Arrow and Deathstroke's origins both will be revealed on their hellish island.
Island.
as Dr. Ivo searched for a cure for someone very, very dear to him, Oliver Slade and Sarah, they start planning for their assault on the Amazo. In the confusion that erupted during their infiltration, though, Slade discovered how Shadow was killed, and he is not happy about it.
Well, he took it kind of hard, considering that she finally said she loved him, and then she died. And, you know, it's like, dude, you had all this time. You could have done whatever you wanted, but you waited. And, you know, that's your fault. I don't know. Slade just has to sleep in the bed that, you know, he made, I think.
Yeah, that one on the floor in the corner of the fuselage?
Yes. Yes.
That's the bed he made, right? Okay. All right. So, well, anyway, it seems... things haven't really gotten any better in the 5 years since this all happened, because Slade made a surprise visit to the Queen household. And Oliver, he kind of sends for his team. I guess he butt dials for his team, in Felicity's words, to kind of help protect Moira and Thea. Because he's there all by himself, and you know where he knows what Slade's capable of. So, can Oliver keep him safe? You know, will Sarah get his message? Will Roy get his shirt on in time to help stop Deathstroke?
Oh,
these are the questions we're going to answer.
Well, I don't know if we're going to answer that one about Roy. That's kind of, I don't know. I think that's out of the purview of the podcast here.
You think so?
Yeah. Okay.
We can talk about that off air if you want.
Sure, sure. He was all glistening.
So. I'm wondering why he was practicing
with his shirt off.
Shoot, yeah,
in front of Sarah. It's like, hey, babe, check this out. And why did they send? Just as an aside here from that scene, why did they send Felicity to get Big Belly Burgers? I mean, it's like send Felicity to do that. Have her answer the phone. We'll just train. It's like, you know. Jeez.
And then they don't even answer the phone. It just sits there. It's
right. Well, there. You know, with a cell phone, I completely understand. I mean, I always, if, you know, like someone leaves their cell phone on a table at work and it starts ringing, I'm not going to answer that. I mean, it's a cell phone is so much, seems so much more personal than like just a.
That was the Arrow phone, wasn't it? Wasn't that the one Detective Lance calls? Officer Lance calls? I don't know.
No, because when Oliver was, you know, flipping his finger around on it, it said call Felicity. It was Felicity's phone.
Oh, okay. All right. I guess I can
see that. It had a picture of her on it, at least, anyway. So maybe he calls the Arrow phone Felicity.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's like, so who knows?
Maybe
either way.
Your guitar or your car. I don't know. So. All right.
Someone answer Felicity for me.
Oh. Ring, ring. All right. Well, speaking of rings, this episode is called The Promise. And it's not because Deathstroke is giving a clotter ring to Oliver in it. It is because there have been some promises made and some promises will be kept. You can guarantee that. So let's do a breakdown of the title. This has really become, I think, one of my favorite parts of the show where we try to think about what does the title mean, because it... There's always the very obvious ones, but there's some not so obvious ones that show up in the episode as well. And I like I think that the writers and the creative team are putting a lot of thought behind this. So I feel like the fact
Absolutely.
That we need to discuss this sort of thing, because I think they are putting these things in here to be found and talked about.
I think they want us to. I think they specifically do it so you and I will discuss it.
Oh, just for us. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Well, not just for us. I mean, so other people can hear us talking about it.
Oh, okay.
So, gotcha. But I hope they don't stop. I mean, I hope they don't stop doing this. I hope they don't stop tying that title in, because it really is. It's not a hidden meaning, but it's like a theme. It's like the theme of the show.
It is.
Which really, it helps you think, and it helps me, because then I don't have to, you know, try and figure out what the theme is. But it wouldn't be as fun to kind of analyze and look at if it was so obvious, like an old, you know, Friends title, you know. The one where Slade surprisingly shows up in the Queen household or something like that.
Right.
Wouldn't be as good.
Right. Oh, well, that's what happens. Yeah, it's descriptive, but it's also thematic, which I think is a great way to put it. It is very much the theme of the episode. There's some titles of, like, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, the next three episodes, not sure how thematic they are, but I guess we'll see, because they probably are, and that's what's really interesting. They seem to be the titles of comic books. I mean, literally the titles of comic books over the next three episodes. But anyway, we'll talk about those when the time comes. So this week we're going to talk about The Promise. So I think the main one that stands out to everybody is the fact that Slade made a promise to destroy Oliver and make him suffer. And I felt like I had missed something, because we see Slade getting in his really fancy car. And he says, you know, 5 years ago I made a promise, and I'm going to keep it. And you're like, what was his promise? Did I miss that? And then, of course, it's answered in the next flashback, which is very well done. But I felt like I wasn't paying it. You know, I felt like my attention lapsed for a second. And I'm like, Oh, crap. Did I just miss something?
I thought the same thing. So even the second time I watched it, I thought the same thing.
it's just the way the setup is. Like, you expect to already have known the promise for him to make that call, and they kind of, you know, from a writing standpoint, they just kind of made it topsy-turvy there. So.
I felt kind of like I was Oliver in that situation. Like, he said that to Oliver, and then Oliver's mind, he's going, you did? Let's see, what was 5 years ago? And then it was kind of like a... and it went back to his memory of that. Oh, yeah, that promise. Okay, all right.
You know, the way in the present day portions of this episode, the acting that Stephen Amell did, I thought was really interesting, because he was very tense and tight and terse, the three T's, and you know, he was like, so Mr. Wilson, what would you like to do now? Can I walk you to your car? And I'm like, man, I am just, someone's gonna haul off and just slug somebody here. I mean, the tension was palpable. It was really cool.
It was, and it all stemmed from the fact that he knew he couldn't take him down, at least not in that situation. You know, I don't think it was so much trying to keep the secret.
Up on Mirakuru, definitely.
No, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think part of it was keeping the secret from his family, but also I think I don't think he thought he would win. I don't think he could have won in that situation. He even kind of tried as soon as she left the. As soon as she left the room, he tried, and it was very, very clear he was outmatched.
What was it, a letter opener, I think?
I couldn't tell if it was an ice pick or a letter opener or something, but something that would have killed anybody else. But
Right. Well, I mean, just think of all the ramifications here, because Slade knows Oliver's secret identity, so he can use that. Slade's much more powerful than anybody. He could easily kill Oliver and his family and probably everybody else on his team, except maybe Roy, but Slade's got, you know... hand-to-hand combat training prior to being on the Mirakuru, and Roy, obviously, we have seen in the last few episodes that he is just—he's not there. He's working on it, but he just does not have the skills yet to.
I think Oliver could take Roy.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I mean, I think there would be a good chance for that. So, it was, you know, you just weren't sure what was going to happen with that, and. I found the resolution in the last few seconds there very satisfying, with the fact that during the tour, Slade planted little cameras all around. Even if there were these little teeny cameras that couldn't possibly have the transmission power to get back to his office and would run out of batteries really quickly, we'll ignore that.
Hey! They were Mirakuru brand.
Oh, very cool. These cameras will always work. We promise. So
they shake a little bit, though.
That's the tagline. They shake a little bit. Did you notice Roy? He got a little bit of the MTs, the Mirakuru tremors.
He did. Yes.
So, got to kind of wonder about that.
That's going to be foreshadowing to something.
Yeah. That's a little shaky there. So. All right, so there was another promise that was in the episode in the flashback parts, and this was a promise that Ivo made to his wife about him apparently finding a cure for whatever debilitating disease she had. Now, I didn't pick up what she had. It seems like she had some kind of dementia because she was when he was calling her on the ship to shore or whatever it was. She didn't realize she was talking to him. She was talking about him in the third person. We never were told what she had, correct?
No, I don't think so. It just sounded like she had had some sort of like an Alzheimer's type thing and where she didn't have any memory, but maybe she had McGregor syndrome.
See, you're right on track. I was thinking, wouldn't that be an interesting way to tie it back into stuff that we saw last week, that she actually had McGregor syndrome? So
there was really no indication of that other than last week they talked about a disease and that's what Tachman had, the Clock King. But they didn't say. But clearly she wasn't of her right mind. She didn't have any memory of, well, she had a memory of him, but she didn't realize who she was talking to. So,
right. right.
Some kind of dementia.
Yeah. Maybe she had the same kind of thing going on that Brother Blood's mom did. You know, she just kind of went a little loopy.
Yeah. Although I think hers might have stemmed from the fact that her son was a murderous, evil villain and killed her husband right in front of her.
That's probably true. But, you know, interesting coincidence. Brother Blood's mother's name actually is Loopy.
So. Oh, well, there you go. See?
Now
you
know. Hola. all right. So the next promise, there were two promises made back-to-back on the island. Sarah makes a promise to Oliver to tell his family that he wasn't the same man that left on the boat, that he had changed, which I thought was really interesting because even in the year and change that he's been on the island, you know, he's grown so much from that frat boy that we saw that took off in the Queen's Gambit with his dad and with Sarah.
Speaking of which, I have a little note here that I wanted to mention. This is okay. A good time to do it. I noticed in this episode that in the flashback, he didn't have that little boy voice that he's been kind of using when in the flashbacks.
Oh, interesting.
He sounded much more like the Oliver that we see in present day.
Well, that happens. I will tell you exactly where that happens then, because I had noticed that. But it's where he puts on the hood, because you, right there, they changed. They did the lighting. They did the camera move with him turning. They did the musical cue to the Arrow theme, or a modified version of the Arrow theme that we hear in the present day. You know, the opening.
Yep.
Dun, 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 dun. So that is probably
did they do
right
the little
where they
scream, too?
Did
that?
No, I didn't hear that.
That musical interlude, by the way, was brought to you by Mirakuru brand cameras. All right. I agree. That was, I wrote that down right here. Right. You can.
That's
right
good.
There.
I see
you can hear
it. Right,
I
hear it. Yeah. No,
right,
that's
right
great.
When he put the hood on. So it wasn't really a hood. It was more like a hood dickie. You know, it only went mid chest. So I guess so. What, he could wear a jacket
I think they call that a foreskin. You brought it up. I'm just saying. sorry to derail the conversation there.
All right.
So there was another promise then that was made at that. I'm sorry. Did you have anything else to say about all of
nothing
promise,
that would top that?
Or Sarah's promise?
No. I just you mentioned that how much he had changed, you know, and he wasn't the same
right.
kid that he was before, and that's I just noticed that. With his voice, so.
Okay. So after Sarah makes her promise, then Oliver promises Sarah, based on what she asks him, that if she doesn't make it out of this, to tell her family that she died on the Queen's Gambit, which is what he does. So check. Promise made, promise kept.
So far, that's the only one kept, right?
that we know of, yeah.
Well, out of this list, you know.
Out of this list so far, yeah. And then, this didn't pop out at me until I saw it the second time. But at the conclusion of the tour of the Queen household in the present day, Slade, you know, thanks Thea for her very thorough tour. And he goes, I think out of all of the paintings, the promise was the one I liked the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was actually a painting in the Queen household called The Promise, which we didn't see, but you know, obviously was talked about. So, again, very, you know, just, I mean, Oliver knows exactly what he's talking about, I'm sure, at that point. And, of course, everybody else is just oblivious. So, very, very interesting.
I should probably know this, being an art major in college, but is The Promise an actual painting that you are aware of?
Oh, well, now that you say that, see, I should have probably looked and checked this out. No, I'm not. It's not anything that rings any bells. A lot of the other names of artists I know that they were mentioning on the show are not actual, I mean, what you would call fine artists. They were in jokes as far as comic book artists. They did. Thea mentioned Curtis Swan and Joseph Kubert. Kurt Swan was the artist for Superman initially and for a while, and Joe Kubert and his boys, Andy and Adam Kubert, are both known, or are all known for doing different things with DC, most notably Sergeant Rock. That's one of the titles that, they've all done together, actually, which is a, if you haven't, never read it, it's, you think it's just kind of a war comic. It's a lot more than just a war comic, and especially when Kuberts are working on it. So, but no, I didn't look up The Promise. If anybody has any information on that, that'd be cool to find out about. Hmm.
All right. Well, that's a lot of promises for one episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like a I was going to say Nick Lowe. Is it? It's not Nick Lowe that sings that song, Promises, Promises.
No.
See, who is that?
That's an old 80s reference. I can't. I think though, you know what it feels like. All
naked
of these
eyes,
promises.
That's who it is.
Naked. Okay. All of these promises feel like they were made right before a dire situation.
Yes.
If not, maybe even a hopeless situation, in, you know, in their minds, they're making them before the attack on the Amazo, or you know, Ivo made it before his wife was to die, you know, or whatever was going to end up happening to her. And I think that's what they said actually. On his first call that he made, and now this, you know, this promise that Slade is right before, you know, what will be a big confrontation between the two of them. So. I just thought that was interesting that all the promises were kind of something prior to a huge event,
where someone may possibly die, you know, and that
mm-hmm.
and that and the main promise here, the one with Slade and Oliver, it's, you know, it's the implication is that somebody will be dying here. You know, if either Oliver has to take Slade out or Slade's going to take out Oliver's family and friends.
I had one question for you, and you may not know this either. I didn't have time to go back and actually research to find out if it was. But
okay.
in an earlier episode when he was on the Amazo with the Russian guy, what's the Russian guy's name? Heinrich? Is that
Anatoly?
Anatoly. Okay, yeah.
Anatoly Nezhev.
Where did he get Heinrich? anyway, did he?
Oh, Heinrich
promise?
Was the other guy in the cell from this episode. He was. The
oh,
one
he
was.
The, he was the.
He was complaining guy, right? That Anatoly was cheating at dice or whatever they were playing.
Right. Okay. Well. Anyway, what did Oliver promise to come back for the Russian guy?
Yes, he did. He said, "Yeah, there was. Maybe it wasn't in so many words, but yes, he said that he would." Help him get out of there or something like that, or I'll come back for you or something along those lines.
Okay.
When he escapes.
Well, I thought of that being another promise too, but I couldn't decide if it was an actual one that happened or if it was just the way I was remembering it. But
that's true. That's right. Because we know that, in the present day, Anatoly, you know, is good friends with him and is a member of Bratva and, the Russian mafia. And that's where Oliver got the tattoo, which he doesn't have at this point on the show. So, now that those prisoners have been freed.
Yeah, he hadn't been hanging out with any Russians yet, so.
Exactly.
So now he can get a Russian tattoo.
Right.
All right,
so. Doing that on an island, so.
That's true.
Well,
all right,
I think,
that's another promise, so that's a bonus.
Yeah, that bonus promise. Bonus promise, so. you put something down here next that I thought was cool. It kind of could be the sort of the subtitle of this episode, because this was a very iconic moment, I think, for the episode, or for the series in general, but for this episode in particular.
About Oliver first donning the hood.
Yes.
And I really liked the way they did it. It was, you know, again, I'm thinking back to some of the older comics of Green Arrow and the origins of Green Arrow. And there was one series. This was in the I think the one I'm thinking of is from the 80s, if I'm not mistaken, about when he was on the island. And really training himself to mm-hmm. be, you know, such a great archer. And
yeah, it was like year one, I think, or something along those lines.
I think that was the one. I see the pictures in my mind, and I know there's several versions of it. But this, when he was training, when he was like shooting the arrows at the trees and when he was first putting on that hood. And
yeah.
It really, really reminded me of those scenes from that comic.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a good, and whether it was a nod or not, I thought it was a very good homage to those comics. So that was cool. And then not only that, cause I kind of knew we were getting that from the commercials and the previews and stuff, but, we also got, the origins of Deathstroke and, Slade Wilson putting on, what I called the mask, but I had you educate me on the proper term for what that truly is.
I think so. I think it's like a balaclava, but a balaclava is usually more of a mask that, you know, goes over your head, but it leaves the eyes, nose, and maybe even mouth exposed. You know, it's like a ski mask where
right.
you could, you know, put goggles over it and then kind of pull it up over your nose a little bit. But it's
I really think that is what it is because of the way, you know, I always picture those balaclavas like a, almost like a ninja or like the special ops,
yeah.
you know, where they're covered just like everything except for the eyes.
Yeah.
But to me, that's kind of what Deathstroke's look like.
It is. It's a modified version of that. And what was cool, this is the first time we've seen Slade wear it. Now, we had seen Billy Wintergreen, who was Slade's ex-partner, wear that outfit and the mask in season one. In fact, I don't know that we ever saw Wintergreen without the mask.
No, they didn't show him at all without the mask.
Okay. So, and of course, we saw Oliver stab Wintergreen through the mask, through the right eye of the mask, which is the dead eye and the blind eye for Deathstroke. So that was a lot of foreshadowing at that time.
In the Arrow universe is an absolutely horrible way to kill somebody and never works.
Right, right. Except for whatever reason it worked for Wintergreen.
I think
he might have blown up by one of the rockets from the Stinger missile, but whatever the Warthog or whatever it was that they had there.
Yeah, he was just waking up right before that happened, actually. And then,
so yeah, that was really cool. So it's at that point, you know, they're kind of doing a team up, and then in the present day, they are, you know, not. I thought it would have been interesting to see Deathstroke in his costume again in the present day, but I'm also realizing we didn't see Oliver in the Arrow outfit in the present day either.
No, not so, even once this episode, did we?
Right. So interesting point. We actually get to see them both in their costumes in the past.
Well, and also that I thought was interesting was that they were, you know, born, quote unquote, whatever, at the same time. You know, I mean, if you count when they put the masks on for the first time, or the symbols of who they are, you know, the hood and the mask, that they were kind of born at the same time, which to me makes them feel like the arch rivals, you know, your traditional arch rivals, which they're not in the comics, but to me in the show,
Oliver's
it feels like they are.
Yeah, Oliver's more like an archer rival of Deathstroke's.
Yeah, yeah. So. The history of them, you know, going back 6 years now. I guess it's 6 years, right?
Five years
on the island, and now one more year past that, almost two.
Yeah.
So that's even longer than, you know, say Merlin, who he had known for a while, but is not still around at this point. So
right.
Anyway, I don't know. That's kind of a stretch, but it just because they were born at the same time, it seems like they would definitely be sort of arch rivals. So we'll kind of have to see what happens to Slade. I wouldn't think they would kill him off this soon, anyway.
So what do you think's happened to Ivo? I feel like we've got to get rid of him, but we're slowly doing that, but we're not really getting rid of him. As far as we know, he lost his arm or his hand. That's pretty nasty. But I'm assuming he's still around on the boat.
Well, this is why I want to talk about this just briefly. It's because he, you know, Slade attacked him, and I guess is that what he did? He cut off his hand. I watched it like three times.
Yeah, he's holding the gun.
Exactly what happened.
He's holding the gun out, and then Slade said, you know, because Slade, I feel like Slade's crazy. I mean, Oliver is totally correct. Slade is not in his right mind. It's the Mirakuru messing with him, but he...
Oh, yeah.
You know, he just keeps repeating. He's like, I don't care. It's like, geez, man, you know you've gone off the deep end, and you just don't care, and that is the most dangerous that you can be. But he asks Ivo earlier, he's like, you know, because Ivo is trying to convince Slade that, yeah, I may have held the gun, but Oliver's the one that killed her. He's the one that made the decision. It's his fault, which is, dude, that is just a piss-poor argument right there. It's like,
oh, I know. It's awful.
You pulled the trigger. It's like, but don't try to blame it on me because...
But here's the deal. It's working. So, okay, Oliver.
Yeah.
Come here. Come here, Oliver. Pull up a chair. I just want to talk directly to you for just a second. Okay. Look, I know you're an honorable guy, and you're trying to be the good guy, and you don't want to be the kid you used to be. But look, you've killed some people. You've done some bad things. It's okay to go ahead and lie about the bad guy. Okay? So Ivo is sitting here telling Slade, he's like, no, Oliver made this decision. Oliver's like, what are you talking about? Shoot this guy. He's crazy. You know, I mean, don't argue with him. Don't try to be noble in this case.
Yeah.
Slade is clearly out of his mind. Ivo will do anything and say anything. It's okay. Say, yeah. Are you kidding me with this guy, Slade? Get him now. Listen to what he's saying. So anyway, that kind of bothered me. I'm like, stop being noble. Stop trying to explain yourself. There was nothing you can do. Just make Slade believe you.
So he's holding the gun out, and Slade keeps asking him, it's like, is that how you held it? Is that how you pointed it at her? Is that the way you held the gun? I'm like, dude, you're walking right into his trap. Because at this point, he's like, yeah, this is how I held it. It's like, great. See, now you just admitted that you've done it, and whew, out comes the blade, and he slices his right hand off. I think you get a brief shot of a stump. You don't see the hand fall or anything like that. And then he kind of goes down, and I don't remember if the men take him out of the way or we cut away.
They do. I think they took him like up the stairs there that were kind of in the back of the shot.
So
I knew he was still alive.
Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like he's still alive, but, what's going to happen to him? And we've still got to get the freighter in to be looking like it does at the beginning of the season. I sent you a screen grab from the first episode of season two, when in the present day, Felicity and Diggle parachute onto the island to get Oliver after he went on his little sabbatical after the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And we see, I mean, it's not like off to the side of the frame or anything like that. You know,
no.
There is a giant freighter boat sunk in the lagoon right in front of the island, and it is framed so that you are looking at the boat. And if you look closely, you can see the first two letters, AM, on the bow of the ship. So,
you don't think that's the freighter Amanda?
No.
No, okay.
Captain All Phillips, right. Paging Captain Phillips. So, at some point, we got to sink the boat. But the boat is sunk right by the island. It's not like Oliver's going to use it to get away, obviously, because he's, you know, we know he's on the island for 5 years. Oh, let me just jump back one quick thing while I'm remembering it. When you're talking about the training montage, and we saw the other scene where he's firing the arrow at the bonfire to light it, and then he misses. I thought that was a great throwback to the first episode, the pilot episode, where he lights the bonfire from up on the hill to call attention to the fishermen to get their attention to get rescued.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was pretty neat. So, it's windy. There's a breeze. That's what he said. So
there's a breeze.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, Ivo, there's still something going on with him, and part of me wants to keep him around to have him survive. You know, we've been making, or at least I've been making this assumption that he's dead because there's just no talking about him in the present.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean, you know, he's not. You know, Oliver may think he's dead, but doesn't mean he's dead. Everybody may think he's dead, but that doesn't mean he's dead. So I just want to see him because he's, you know, famous in the comics for creating a lot of robotic androids and you know, assassin things and stuff like that. So I'm wondering if, you know, maybe he's going to make a... Remember there was a hand on his desk. You know, like a hand model. Maybe he's going to do something to that and make it a robotic hand, huh?
Yeah.
A
little Anakin Skywalker action going on there.
Yep, yep.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, see, I don't want him to get rid of him yet. I mean, he's evil enough, and he hasn't really done anything, really.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he tried to get the Mirakuru, didn't get that. Well, you know, I mean, until this episode, but I guess he didn't really have that, but Slade has it, and he has him. You know, he killed Shadow, but, I mean, he hasn't actually accomplished anything. He needs to do something, be a big threat to Oliver or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I hope they keep him around for a while, because he's not dead.
Yeah, he's an interesting... Dylan Neal does an interesting job of portraying him, because he seems sympathetic sometimes, but... he's very caught up in his work, and, you know, that seems to blind him to, you know, morals and ethics.
I would like to know a little bit more about what Sarah was doing for that entire year while she was with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we'll get some answers
going
to that.
On.
So, yeah, that's interesting. So, so we leave... Ivo on the freighter somewhere, maybe in one of the now empty pens, because it appears that the majority, if not all of the prisoners have escaped, however many that is. They appear to have made it to the island. The island has got several people on it that I think Oliver will join up with and probably have some friends to play with for at least maybe next season. Hendrik, who... He was the one that attacked Sarah when she opened the cage. I believe I saw him come onto the island, but it could have, you know, there were a couple other unnamed prisoners that washed up there. But definitely Anatoly washed up on the island, and he's the one that Oliver met in Russia in the present day, and has used his connections with the Russian mafia to get some things to go his way. Thomas Flynn... Also on the island, he was the preacher. What did he say? He didn't say he was a preacher. He said he was a missionary.
Missionary. Okay, that's right. That's right.
Which is a nice position, by the way. and
if you can get it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely, if you can get it. and so he was kind of tricked to getting on the boat, and seemed to be pulling a little Green Mile action there with playing with the mouse. I thought there was a nice little. Potential homage to the Green Mile. So he's on the island, Sarah's back on the island, and then a couple other prisoners. So there's definitely some friends for Oliver to play with. But Oliver is in a cell on the boat, and Slade is now in charge after killing off a lot of the crew, I guess. I mean, there's still some crew around there. We have one... And I thought they still were going to go further than they did. They went through a lot. But I have a theory on how Slade loses his eye. And I want you to think about what you may have heard on the show. Because for the longest time, I thought, well, Oliver put an arrow in it. I thought that's what we had heard. But when I'm thinking back to it, I think it's only Slade making a threat back to Brother Blood, saying that when he finally destroys Oliver's family, then he's going to put an arrow back in his eye. And I think we're assuming that that's what happened to Slade, but I don't... I have a different theory right now.
Okay. All right. Because, you know, we saw the mask with the arrow in it, too.
Right. So there was the mask with the... So Wintergreen... got killed in season one with an arrow into the... Well, got killed potentially from something else, but then had an arrow stabbed in his right eye. In the first episode, the pilot, when Oliver was rescued, we saw the mask with the arrow sticking into it, which also seems to indicate that being, the reason why he lost his eye. Mm-hmm. Historically, in the comics, we've talked about how the fact that's what Oliver does. He's shoved an arrow. I think it was in one of the miniseries that was when Green Arrow met Deathstroke. He shoved an arrow into his eye. This was after Deathstroke was already Deathstroke, but added, you know, just pain to on top of whatever else was going on. There was a piece of foreshadowing in this episode that, watching it a second time, it seems so blatant. It started me actually second-guessing my prediction, but I'm going to go ahead and say this prediction. They put Anatoly, they pull him out of the cell, they bring him up to do an experiment on him. It's very Dr. Mengele kind of stuff going on here with Ivo. And Ivo says, I need an eyeball for a test that I'm going to do, and holds up this instrument directly in front of the camera, and you can see Anatoly in the background. So I believe what's going to happen...
By the way, I made the exact same expression on my face when I saw that as Anatoly did.
Yeah.
Because that's disgusting.
I do not like... I don't like needles, and I don't like eyeballs. And you put them together, and or any kind of sharp instrument around the eyeball. It's very oogie. So I think there's going to be a point where Oliver... You know, they're in some kind of fight, and that tool, you know, falls down, and Oliver's just going to jam it into... Slade's eye, not nice, and pull it out, but just and pop it out. Just given the way that, you know, there, it's a very, when he was, you know, I kept thinking he takes off the, if he takes off the eye patch, it's going to be all scarred, you know, and like his eye is going to be, his eyelids are going to be, you know, pinched together, you know, they're just going to do some makeup and close his eye so they don't have to do anything. Here we got an entire empty ocular cavity with like no eyelids. I was like next to Gus Fring from Breaking Bad. I mean, this was pretty nasty looking right into the guy's skull.
Yeah. Maybe now, if this was the old comics, maybe they'll do this. He'll have like an, you know, eyeball remover arrow. He could just shoot it at him. See, that's,
that would be kind of cool, a little corkscrew kind of arrow or something like that.
Oh, jeez. Okay. All right. Well, whatever happens to his eye, it's going to be pleasant.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, yeah, you know, you're right. Once they showed that that scene with the eyeball with Anatoly there, that it does kind of seem like foreshadowing. So maybe you're right.
Yeah. So, I feel like they're going to drag this portion of the flashback storyline out towards the end of the season, and very much like they did with the first season, where they kind of, they kept it a kind of complete story, you know, like bookends. We're going to see, you know, some other fight that takes place. Deathstroke and Oliver are going to have it out. That's where Oliver is going to feel that Deathstroke died. Maybe, like, he stabs him. The boat goes down. Deathstroke appears to drown or whatever. Oliver washes ashore, you know, back on the island. He's like, oh, darn it. It's like the castaways on Gilligan's Island. Just keep coming back.
And next, the Harlem Globetrotters are coming next season. So.
So, you know, he feels that Slade is dead because, of course, up until he met Slade again in his living room, he felt that I seem to feel that he thought Slade was dead.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So
that's what he told Diggle and Felicity anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And so Slade, now I think there's something more going on here than we know at the moment. Slade seems to know a lot about Oliver's plan. He seems to know, for example, that Diggle is waiting to take a headshot with a high-powered rifle. Enough so that he has someone waiting to take Diggle out. So my first question is, who do you think that is working with him?
I was wondering the same thing. And for some reason, I get this feeling that it's somebody we don't know yet. But he always, you know, he has Cyrus... In the background there, you know, he's kind of his little minion.
Brother Blood.
Brother Blood, excuse me. Said, yeah, well, yeah, I guess
Cyrus
Brother Blood
is dead, as far as we know on the show. Now, I did put the name Cyrus in our notes because, you know, if he is Solomon Grundy, he's going to come back from the dead. And so what a cool way for him to come back from the dead. And he's continuing to work with Slade.
That could be. And what I meant was Brother Blood. But you're right about the Cyrus. That didn't even occur to me about Cyrus, even though I said the word Cyrus. But I was going to say about Brother Blood is he doesn't seem like the guy that does the grunt
work.
The
dirty work, right.
You know what I mean? He's right, usually exactly. The one given the orders to do that. So I don't think it was him. And as soon as you said Cyrus, then it put up in my head, that could be. But I still think it might even be somebody that we don't know yet, somebody else that he's working with that's helping out.
Which would be cool. It would be an interesting surprise. Maybe Merlin? Maybe.
Ooh, interesting.
That's just kind of coming to me. But now, here's the thing. Like I said...
I don't know if Merlin would leave Diggle alive.
Possibly. Unless, you know, there could be some leverage thing. And it does seem like they're two high-level hitters, you know, that Merlin wouldn't really be working for Slade. I mean... And again, not in that capacity, but I'm just trying to think about stuff like this. But what I'm thinking, what I'm also trying to get at is that Slade's playing a long game, and we haven't seen all of his setup. So we realize at the end of this episode that he's been setting up these micro cameras around the Queen Mansion. And when we first start the pullback, I'm thinking, oh, we're looking at Felicity's computers because... I don't know if you noticed when she answered the phone, she had some similar video feeds running. Now, I think it was the video feeds from Verdant, but we know they've got cameras set up around Verdant so they can watch who's coming in and out. Okay? So, is someone working with Oliver either purposefully or not leaking information back to Slade, like, i.e., are they bugged? Or does Slade know just enough about Oliver that he's actually bugged the Arrow Cave and has cameras in there somehow? Because how else does he know that Diggle's about to take a headshot on him? I mean, his depth perception is crap.
Yeah, I guess it would be, wouldn't it? Let me ask you this. Because I thought about this as... when it was in a flashback, and as Oliver was talking to Sarah about destroying the Mirakuru, they're outside the plane, the little fuselage there. Mm-hmm. They're outside talking, whispering, and all of a sudden Slade comes out. He's like, Slade won't want us to do what?
Right.
So what if this Mirakuru is kind of giving him these, you know, extra sensitive... sensory perceptions, and not that that would necessarily give him access to like Oliver's plan and Diggle and stuff like that, but you know, so he can like hear things and see things better than some people, not, you know, 3D things with one eye, but
right.
And so how would he know his plan? But gosh, that's a great question. I mean, I kind of chalked it up to just. He's so kind of wily, you know, he's been watching the whole time, mm-hmm. and he knows about Diggle, and he assumed Diggle would be there to back him up.
Right.
But I don't know. Who I can't think of anybody that would be on the inside that would know enough that would betray Oliver.
I mean, the only one that I would slightly question would be Roy. At this point, just where we are with the character, because, you know, he's had his ins and outs and ups and downs, right? So, but
I guess I mean you have a few other people on the outside that know about Oliver. I mean, you have quite a few actually. We had that long list, but you know, you have the Huntress is always out there, and she's not exactly on his good side, and she's still alive, which right. you know always helps if you're getting somebody to help you. But I don't see her doing that either.
Yeah. Anyway, it's an interesting question because it just seemed, you know, and again, it doesn't feel like one of these things that, oh, the writers just kind of slipped on something. No, I mean, obviously.
No, I don't think so.
They've got a plan there. And I'm sure we'll find out because we've got, what was this? This was episode 15. So we've still got 8 episodes left. So there's a, you know, we're on the downturn for the resolution to the season here. And we can, you know, we can kind of see where it's going, but I'm sure there are a lot of little intricacies that we're going to learn about along the way that will be exciting to find out about.
Yeah, and I would think that there's something has to be coming up that involves something big with the city, you know, itself, and Brother Blood, and mm-hmm. probably Slade. I mean, at least backing it or something.
Yeah. Well, the mayoral race is going to have to kind of come to a head unless they're going to let that percolate for another season. But since Brother Blood is so tied into Slade's plans here, I feel that Slade's storyline in the present day will get wrapped up to some degree this season. You know, whether they destroy him or oust him in some fashion or incarcerate him for the time being with Argus, for example, that Brother Blood will also have to wrap up this season and won't be a continuation thing. So there probably will be the mayoral stuff coming up here. And
wow, that seems like a lot to get done in 8 episodes.
I know. And especially when, you know, you hear kind of about what they're talking about doing for at least the next 2 or 3 episodes, you're like, all right, well, you guys are going to be taking kind of a break from this storyline then for a bit. At least that's what it seems like from the extended trailer that I saw for the next 2 episodes. I take that back because it's, I think the 3rd episode out is going to probably focus a little more on Slade, but we'll see. And maybe they'll just wrap up some stuff, you know, some parts of these storylines early, and then continue other parts of them on to the season finale. But I mean, you know, what they're going to, what they're going to come up with for a season finale this year, it's like, I have absolutely no idea, and I probably won't have any inkling until we talk about the 22nd episode about what they might be doing for the final episode, because that's the only thing that's really going to give us any kind of clue.
Hmm.
But I'll be looking forward to it. I liked the way Sarah was working with Oliver in this episode in the boat. You know, she had to explain to Anatoly that she was now working for Oliver. Obviously, everybody didn't buy that. We had, like I mentioned, Hendrik, you know, attacked her, and it wasn't, you know, Anatoly saved her life then. So that worked out, you know, very well for them on the boat and everything. So,
man, that guy, he's a monster, man. He was, he took her out fast, and
it was like a pipe or something, I think he hit her with, or hit him with. Oh, you mean Hendrik took her out?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm used to seeing Sarah being, you know, super strong, but, or not even strong, just, super capable of defending herself. And it was like nothing. So that guy kind of scares me. Like he might be a big threat coming up.
Yeah. If that is him on the island and he did survive, that could be a problem. Now, I've had a number of people make this comment to me, and I want to see if you notice this as well. It would, in the present days, because we're still talking about Sarah here, it was in the scene where Oliver Butt dials, Felicity answers the phone, and we hear Thea talking about somebody. And then we hear Slade's voice, and the camera kind of starts zooming in or dollying in on Sarah, and she's like, I know that voice, and you keep going, did it look like she was pregnant?
What was that? Whoa.
The actress. I think it was just the way her clothes were on her, but a couple people at work and my wife all said, oh my God, is she pregnant? I'm like, I'm pretty sure the actress isn't. Like, okay, so if she is, I don't think they intend for Sarah to be pregnant. I think it was either just an ill-fitting top, because it was kind of one of those tops that kind of like has that, I don't even know what you call it. It's not like a waistline, because it's a bust line, I guess. It's got like a little piece of elastic kind of under the bust, and then the rest of the skirt kind of flows, or the rest of the shirt kind of flows below that. But the way it was shot or draped across her stomach, it made it look like it was kind of one of those maternity shirt sort of things.
Huh. That is not something I noticed, but now I'm going to have to go back and check it out.
I don't think she's actually pregnant, and because in the previous episode I was pointing out to everybody, it's like she had her midriff exposed when they were doing the fight sequence at the beginning of last episode, and she's pretty tight. It didn't look like she was pregnant there. Now, of course, you know, this is, you know, probably like 2 or 3 weeks later in terms of shooting, if they shot that sort of stuff. But I, like I said, I think it was just kind of a costume shot, because then there's a follow-up shot where the camera's lower, kind of looking up at her, and she walks by to show something to Felicity or Diggle or something like that. And it the shirt looks like it's fitting differently on her. I just wanted to know if you had picked up on that, or if you had, you know, had any thoughts. But if you didn't see it, you didn't see it.
Well, I'll go back and check it out.
Okay. So
maybe a little baby arrows on the way. I don't know.
No, not yet. I don't think.
No, I don't think
we
so.
Can do that. So, but you know, they did have coitus. So we'll see. Well, okay. Let me put it this way: we assume they had coitus at the end of that one episode. It faded to black really kind of quick. And you know, if they were on at 10, it might have lasted just a couple seconds longer or something like that. So,
or on HBO.
Yeah. Oh, if it was on HBO, then the entire cast would have gotten naked. Nyssa would have come in and Slade and everybody. So, one other reference I wanted to touch on in here, when Oliver is under the effects, quote unquote, of the sodium pentothal, which I didn't even really pick up on the fact that he was faking at that point. I had seen her, you know, Sarah mixing that concoction or whatever, and I was just like, oh, okay, they're going to use that. But then I really forgot about that, so that was pretty cool. He tells his full name, which is Oliver Jonas Queen. My son was like, oh, he's lying, isn't he? And I'm like, no, that's really, that's the name. That's Oliver's full name in the comic books, which is true, so... he was really playing it up in case, I guess, somebody knew that his middle name was Jonas, which, you know, I don't know. I had to
just
look that up.
In case Ivo had done his research.
Yeah.
I had never known that. I didn't know that his middle name was Jonas.
Yeah, his best friends call him OJ. OJ Queen.
OJ Queen.
Hey, that's crazy, because everyone thought he killed his girlfriend, too. So, now you know if the glove fits. Anyway, do you think we covered enough of this episode? Am I just on fire with the puns today?
It's been good. It's good. I promise you the puns were good.
Okay. They're that bad that they're good.
That's right. That's right.
These episodes, I mean, they just bring out the best / worst in me, I guess, as far as that stuff goes.
So. It was a good episode. There were just minor little things that, kind of slightly rubbed me the wrong way. Nothing that ruined it by any means. It was a heavy flashback episode. It wasn't a real fond of Sarah's reaction after she heard Slade's voice on the cell phone and the straight up, I don't know, Stanley Kubrick zoom in shot or whatever you'd call that towards her and you know, that's Slade Wilson, and if we don't go help, he's going to kill his entire family right now. She knew a lot of Slade's plan somehow. You know, I mean, I guess knowing Slade, knowing what he's capable of, knowing what happened, I can see where she would assume that. But it was just very specific.
Yeah,
and they all really, well, I was going to say they all really got off without a shot, without a problem, without a fight. But poor old Diggle, you don't know what happened to him. He probably got knocked out somewhere. He's like laying in the Queen Garden.
Got a big
they
old
don't even
goose
know.
Egg. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to wake up like at 4 in the morning going, man, they just left me, man.
Man, why do they always have to leave me?
So, but other than that, I thought it was really great. I did like the training sequence on the island. Mm-hmm. I liked how they showed him not just putting the hood on, but also practicing the arrows. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not sure I would have taken the time to carve out targets on all the trees. I probably would have just put a spot on it. But so great. Yeah. Great nods to the comic as far as design and style, and very good origin that was true to the comic origin, mm-hmm. I thought. So,
hey, and they used the parachute just like I suggested last week.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Well, I can't think of any other way they could have used it. So,
yeah,
they tried to turn it upside down and use it as a raft.
Now, just one thing you were pointing out with Sarah seemed to know a lot about his plan, and I'm thinking, oh well, yeah, because Oliver told her. But when would he have told her? Because potentially, when they got separated and Oliver is stuck on the ship and she got off, potentially that is the last time that Oliver will see her and assume that she didn't make it. And so he will tell the family that she died on the Queen's Gambit. Even though she's on the island with these other people, that Oliver's got to spend more time with that Russian. So we know he's
for sure.
He's got to get back to the island at some point. But does Sarah get off? Like, is there a chance for someone to escape and Sarah is able to take it? Maybe Anatoly, you know, lets her go. And that's, who knows? I don't know. But potentially Oliver and Sarah have seen the last of each other until the present day.
Maybe. I'm thinking he thinks she dies in a different way, but I could be wrong. That it would fit for sure.
Yeah. So, okay. Wow. I mean, Promise. Very very interesting episode here. And like I said, I'm sorry that we've got to wait another 2 weeks before we can come back and talk about anything else. But it sounds like what's the next episode? 16, 17, 18. I know the titles for those. They're online if you want to look them up. We've talked about them before. 19 is an unknown title, but is supposedly very interesting. 20 was just tweeted, the title for that, which you and I are going to have a blast talking about what does that title mean in terms of thematic elements. And then we don't know anything about the last three episodes of the season. So, man, I just want to keep going. I want to keep talking about everything that's supposed to be coming, but it hasn't gotten here yet.
I do. And we've been mentioning, I would say, since even before winter break, how they're going to take all these storylines and tie them together for some big finale story arcs, you know, or maybe just one story.
yeah, exactly.
So it's great. It's great. It's what makes the show so great.
Tell your friends about the show. We got to get more people watching Arrow. It's not in danger of being canceled. We got another season coming at least. But got to keep the excitement and the interest up on this. I think it's really important, and it's good to show support for a great comic book adaptation like this, because we want to see more stuff like this. So I feel like it's really important to get the word out about this particular show. And have people keep watching it, because inevitably, as people may have been reading in the news, there are lots of other comic book adaptations that are in the process of being made and coming out next season, potentially going to pilot and potentially coming out. And you need to watch the good ones, and you need to ban the crappy ones, so that, you know, they will learn what we as fans really want to see. And I think that Arrow really speaks to the fan base of, you know, DC Comics and Green Arrow in particular. It's not exactly like the comic book, but it is a great adaptation. And it is solid to the core, and the people that are working on it really care about the source material. And I think that really shines through.
For sure. I agree 100%.
So, well, anyway, that's all we've got for this week's episode of Green Justice. So please come back in 2 weeks and listen to us talk about the next episode.
Yeah, and if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us feedback on iTunes. We'd love to hear from you. And you can also contact us by email at greenjustice@randomchatter.com or on Twitter @greenjusticepod, or you can visit our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast.
And also feel free to check out the other podcast that Josh and I host called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which is also available at randomchatter.com. We've been talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which, if you haven't given that a shot, it's a little different in style and tone from Arrow, but it is really starting to take off in the last third of the season here, and I am cautiously optimistic about where that is going to go and what they're going to leave us for and the way it's going to tie in with all the other Marvel movies. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about it, because that's the only way we're going to get any bigger. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.